Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for us this evening is the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, Thy will be done. Friends in Christ, I invite you to think through these scenarios with me. A wealthy woman gains a reputation for generous contributions to a variety of charities, and she asks for nothing in return. When asked what motivates her to give, she simply says, God has always taken care of me and still blesses me. I believe I'm doing His will by giving back. A professional athlete reaches the pinnacle of his or her chosen sport. They earn Most Valuable Player awards for their efforts. And a sportscaster asks them what their success is attributed to, and they say, well, first of all, I'd like to thank God because it's His will that I'm here. Here's the curveball. A cult leader tells his followers that it's time for them to take their own lives. When someone dares to question his command, his reply is, it's not an option. It's God's will that you do this. What is the will of God? Jesus teaches us to pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, but how can you tell if God's will is being done? Well, tonight I'd like to share two thoughts with you about praying for God's will to be done. Number one, God's word allows us to know what God's will is. And number two, this phrase, Thy will be done, is the soul of Christian prayer and the goal of Christian prayer. When you let Thy will be done become the consistent theme of your conversations with God, you'll experience a deep sense of peace. And we'll talk about why that is as we go along tonight. But first, back to number one. God's word allows us to know what God's will is. Now, many times we tend to think of seeking God's will as making the right decisions. For example, you realize things just aren't good at work. You're no longer happy where you are, and a position opens up somewhere else. And the faithful Christian prays, show me what to do, Lord. What's your will for me in this situation? Now, let me be clear. That is a good and faithful thing to do. Involving God in your decision making, always a good idea. But have you never noticed, though, even then, it's not always crystal clear as to which way you're supposed to go. There are times when, quite frankly, we would like God to send down the great big neon arrow saying, this is the way to go. More often, though, He lets us use our brains and our hearts and our spirit-led intuition to gather information, pray, make a decision, and then adjust as necessary, assuming in faith that God is directing the entire process. But what I really want to share with you, along with that decision-making piece, is that there's another way to look at this. What if Jesus has already told us what His Father's will is? What if God's will is very clearly stated in Holy Scripture, just waiting for us to discover it? Well, guess what? That happens to be the case. And you heard it tonight. When Jesus was teaching here on earth, according to the Gospel of John, He said this, "This is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose none of those He has given me, but raise them up at the last day." And here it is. "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life. and I will raise him up at the last day. Did you hear it? The will of God is to make eternal life available to everyone through Jesus. This has been the will of God from the beginning, ever since he promised Adam and Eve that he would send someone to crush the head of the serpent. And elsewhere in the Bible, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, God our Savior wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So there it is. If you're wondering what God's will is, if you're wondering what God wants everyone to come to a knowledge of the truth. And what truth is that? The truth that Jesus, truly God, born truly human, lived a perfect life. The truth that Jesus gave that perfect life as a sacrificial gift on the cross. The truth that the tomb could not contain him, and that many, many people saw him resurrected and living. And the truth that Jesus went through all that to win you. Listen again to this wonderful invitation. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. God's word lets us know what God's will is. So let's make the connection then. If you know what God's will is, then the way you can know if you're doing God's will is by helping people look to the Son and believe in him for eternal life. Simply put, you carry out God's will when you share Jesus with other people. There's almost an endless variety of ways that you can do that. And one of the most fulfilling things, and dare I say, one of the most fun things you will do as a follower of Christ is find your unique way of sharing him in a way nobody else can. And it all starts with asking yourself, what do I love to do? And how can I do that to glorify God? Now, in the same breath that I say how fun it is to be a follower of Jesus, I also have to acknowledge that actually living in the will of God is not easy, and maybe it'd be better to say it does not come naturally to us. Now, it's easy to say the words, thy will be done, but do you realize what you're saying if you mean it? If you mean those words, you're giving up control of your life and letting God have the final say in all things. And a part of you and me will always resist that. That's why Jesus teaches us to pray for it. But as you grow and experience more things, you come to realize that letting God have the final say in all things is not oppressive. It is the way to personal freedom. You can move out into this world in strength, knowing that you are being navigated by your Heavenly Father, even and especially through the storms of life. Speaking of storms, years ago a tornado struck the prairies of Minnesota, and it did extensive damage, killing many people, injuring hundreds, and almost wiping out the town of Rochester completely. And in the wake of that disaster, there was an elderly doctor and his two sons who could be seen going around and helping people, setting broken limbs, tending to injuries. And their heroic work did not go unnoticed, not a bit. And it turns out financial backing was offered to open a pretty nice clinic in that town, provided that the doctor and his two sons were in charge. Well, they agreed, and in 1889, a clinic was founded that soon attracted wide attention. People came from miles around in all walks of life to go to the Mayo Brothers Clinic. When the tornado struck, lots of people in that town thought, "Where's God? He's forgotten about us." But blessing came out of that disaster, and today that prairie city is world famous, having granted healing to so many people. Blessing out of disaster. And if that doesn't work for you, consider the story of a man from Nazareth, born in Bethlehem. He had spent a few years roaming the countryside, teaching and talking to anybody who would listen about this thing called the kingdom of God. He began to attract quite a following when stories got out about him, about teaching with authority, doing miraculous deeds. He was so personally compelling that 12 men left their old ways of life behind to sit at his feet and learn from him. But not everyone was enamored of this man. There were those who were threatened by him. Conspiracies were hatched to silence his voice once and for all. His own student betrayed him, and that led to his execution by the civil government. And when that happened, his followers felt that everything was spinning hopelessly out of control. Their teacher had been mocked, disgraced, and crucified. But even in that instance, the will of God was being done. Jesus' death was not some tragic mistake. It was his mission. Only by dying and only by enduring the horrors of hell on the cross could Jesus cancel the debt of our sin. Father and Son did the unthinkable because they couldn't bear the thought of losing you. And it was only after Jesus' resurrection that his disciples understood what was going on. It took time for them to see that something good could come out of Jesus' death. And it's no different with us. There will be times when we will only be able to sense God working after the fact, sometimes well after the fact. But the Holy Spirit creates something profoundly simple and powerful in your heart, and that is trust. Trust that your Holy Father is right now doing what is best for you. Trust that through the fires of life, your Holy Father is refining you, and through the storms of life, your Holy Father is sheltering you. Trust that enables you to pray just like Jesus did. Nevertheless, Father, not what I will, but what you will. Resting in your Father's care is the soul and the goal of prayer. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, you have given through your Son this wonderful prayer, and this part of that prayer is so central for our lives with you. Jesus teaches us to say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And you have made your will known in your word. We can know that we are doing your will when we reflect the light of Jesus' love into the lives of other people. And we also trust that you are directing every portion of our lives, bending it into conformity to your Son Jesus, so that we become more like him in every way. Father, this represents a huge step on our part, which is letting go of control, letting go of the wheel of our life, and letting you take control. And yet the faith that you give birth to in our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit helps us to see that when we give you that control, we can finally have peace, knowing that all things are working together for good to those who love you. We thank you for this great gift through Jesus, your Son. Amen. Now may the God of peace himself grant you peace at all times and in all ways. The Lord be with you all. Amen.